Utica Square, which came about back in 1952 when it was owned by
Nix and Dale Carter.
Helmrich and Payne, they'd never really been in real estate before. And as I understand it, you're driving by Utica Square on your way to work every day.
Yeah, the reason that came up, once we went public in 1951, Dad and I never again participated in any kind of royalty deal or anything to do with the oil industry. So I tried to find some other way that was tax advantage in sheltering some income. I knew a little bit about real estate, and my roommate at Harvard's dad was head of Safeway. He had told me when we were in school together that they financed all their stores. So I called him and said, look, is there a chance in the world I could do a Safeway store? Walt, he said, we have people lined up for you. He said, but let me see what I can do. So he called me back in about a week and said, I've got a Safeway store for you in Elk City, Oklahoma. It was $240,000, and I borrowed $500 and built that building. Because the way they were structured, in 20 years, they would pay out your loan. You had a set income. The bank knew the deal you'd made, and so they made it to where the payments paid them off in full with interest. And then at the end of the 20 years, they took 6 5-year options at about, I think I'm getting $870 a month now, which is all gravy because I got all my money back. Still, it was a good deal for them. So then I built another one in Blackwell. They called me and wanted to expand it. I said, I've never even seen this store. And they said, well, you better go see. I said, what do you mean? And they said, we had a guy build one in San Diego. He kept getting checks for it for 3 years, and he went up to see it. The lot was vacant. And they called, and he said, there's no Safeway. We checked. We'd forgotten to build the store, and he'd been getting monthly checks for 3 years. So they said, you better go see Blackwell. But anyway, I decided, you know, why not see if these guys will sell Utica Square? I didn't know either one of them. Stopped by, found their office up on the second floor, went up, met them both, talked for about an hour. And they said, well, yeah, if you'd pay the price. I said, well, let's talk price. So it was $7 million. And about $500,000 of that was a debt that I'd pay off, and then they'd get $200,000.
This was in 1964.
And I agreed to give it to them in stock. And they wanted stock. We were drawing up the contracts, got our contracts all drawn up, went over, and Don Nix had left town, and when he came back, he said he didn't want to make the deal. So I just walked away from it. Less than a month later, Bill Kistler bought it. Bill was a wealthy oil man here in Tulsa, didn't know anything about real estate, but he did move Miss Jackson's from downtown when the bowling alley burned down. That's where Miss Jackson's is. He built that store for Miss Jackson's.
Miss Jackson's was downtown?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they were in the Phil Tower building at one time.
Yeah, then they were downtown until Bill moved them out there. So Bill bought it. It just drove him crazy. He didn't know anything about the business. A little over a year later, he died of a heart attack. Ruth called me a week after the funeral and said, Walt, I'd like to come up and see you because I knew that you tried to buy the square. And I'd like to sell it to you. So she brought Fenlon Boucher. He was King Days at Central High School. Good-looking, arrogant, brilliant lawyer. She brought him up, and she asked if she could bring her son, who was about 16 then. So I said, sure. The three of them came up, and within about 3 hours, we'd made a deal on Utica Square. I went to the company at the next board meeting and said, I'm buying Utica Square, and I want you to be aware of it because I'm doing it for tax reasons. And one of the directors said, well, if it's good enough for you to buy, we need to buy it in the company. So that's how the company ended up with it.
Just because you wanted to be in that business, or there was an advantage, financial advantage?
Yeah, real estate, when you leverage it highly enough, all the interest is deductible, and so the interest covers your income for years. Case that does all these apartment buildings, the depreciation will cover the interest payments for years, and you don't pay any taxes on it.
Did you ever resent the fact that you couldn't own it personally and that you gave it to the...
No, not really, because I ran it, and it was kind of the pet of Peggy's and mine.
When you bought Utica Square in 64,
it had TG&Y and Clark Darling and two grocery stores. It just didn't have any upscale stores. One of the purposes I had, once it was the company's, everything we owned was out of Tulsa, all the oil properties and the drilling rigs. There was never anything to establish the quality that we thought Helmerich & Payne represented. So I just thought, if we can make Utica Square something really special in the city, it'll reflect favorably on the company. So that was my intent. So I took out a lot of parking places and put trees there, started doing that.
How many trees do you think you planted initially?
Oh, gosh. At least 100. The only trees were right there in that little garden area. That were the only trees in the square. Then Peggy and I started flying around the country when there was a store we liked. Went to Minneapolis and got the Daytons to put a store in the square. It was going to be a Dayton Hudson, but they bought John Brown in Oklahoma City and wanted the same name, so it was Brown's.
Then you got Saks Fifth Avenue?
Yeah. Once we got Saks, it made it pretty easy to get anybody we wanted. I got Ann Taylor by getting Sally Frame, the chairman down at Utica Square, and I got Frankfurt of Talbot's down. I'd persuade people to fly through Tulsa, or I'd send the plane for them. Once they saw what was developing, the big decision I made in the square was to keep 30% local merchants, which I felt gave it a homey, longer continuity of ownership, and it's worked well for us.
So you'd see successful businesses in the community, and then you'd go to them and invite them into the square.
Any local person we could get.
Notably Queenie's. I mean, such a hit that you made right there.
I got her out of Brookside and got Olive Garden. A director who was a good friend of mine was a good friend of the chairman of General Mills that owned them. They had told us that it would be a year before they could look at the square. I got this chairman, and he said, well, I'll get somebody there. And 2 days later, they were up from Florida. That's where networking helped us so much.
And then was it Fleming's? You had a guy fly in, and he came up to Yorktown?
Yeah. He was going to get a helicopter to look over the square. And it was real cloudy that day, so I just brought him up to our place. He looked over the square and said, we'll do it.
Fleming's?
Yeah. See, they were owned by Outback. They owned half, and then they'd get partners to put up the other half.
And then you're such a lover of trees that you designated yourself as being the only one who could trim any of these branches.
Right. And I still trim them on weekends sometimes.
You carry in the trunk of your car.
Oh, a whole paraphernalia stuff. Different kind of saws, I have people that'll come by and say, when you get through, could you come over to our place?
But it is a pet project of yours, and across the street, you live in a high rise. So this is your front yard, and you get to work with nature and clip trees, and so it's been a fun experience for you.
It always has been. It's been fun since Hans runs the company. It's given me something to do, and it can take as much time as you want to give it, because you always have tenants that want something, or you want to do something new, or you have to replace a store that leaves.
To this day, you are the main operator of Utica Square, and never gave that up at all.
I make every decision at Utica Square.
Now people come to you and say, how do you do that? How did you put this square together? And you say, plant some trees.
Yeah, because lifestyle centers are the thing now. No more malls are being built. And I just say, just buy 30 acres, plant 100 trees, wait 50 years, and you'll have just what we have. It's interesting. I went in yesterday at Williams-Sonoma to buy some pepper for my grinder, because you have to have a special kind. And Lynette wasn't on the phone. I said, where's your manager? And they said, she's meeting with some people in back. So I just went back and went in, and there were three people in there with her, two women and a man. I said, Lynette, what's going on back here? She said, well, you're just in time. This is my California regional manager and my Dallas district manager. We spent a half hour, and they said, oh, we've heard Howard Lester say so much about you and all this and that. Boy, the one from California was a real doll. I said, well, you've got to say that. The one from California said, Howard probably wouldn't want me to say this, but this is by far not only the prettiest store we have in the chain, but one of the best. I said, you know how you got the manager? Howard's told me all about how you got him this manager.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
What's funny is when you come into the square and it's so packed, you can hardly find a parking spot for yourself.
That's right. I know it.
Because as we talk here tonight, another summer's fifth night kicks off, and there are many other shopping areas who are trying to duplicate what you're doing right now.
Isn't that interesting?
It's one of Tulsa's greatest traditions, as a matter of fact, in addition to Lights On that you have in the square.
No, it really has been.